Welcome to the New Wine Podcast. My name is J. Matthew Barnes. The goal of New Wine is simply this: to talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world. This is podcast number 12, and here's the question we'll try to answer this time. Is it typical for a negative experience to happen right after a positive one? This exact scenario just happened to me recently. I had a very negative experience, and like many of the negative experiences in my life up to this point, it came right on the heels of an overwhelmingly positive experience. This makes me wonder, are the two connected? As a follower of Jesus, is it typical for a negative experience to come immediately after a super positive one? I decided to crowdsource this question, so I posted a call for stories on Facebook. I got some great responses. Here are a few of them. One person said that when they got a new job, immediately the stress of the position started getting to them. They were happy they had the job, but the stress quickly became unbearable. Another person said shortly after starting college at their dream school, there was a death in their family. The person who died was very close to them, and it made focusing on school extremely difficult. Several people talked about making a purchase that they were really excited about, only to have a large and unexpected expenditure right around the corner. And one person shared about how they very recently became serious about their relationship with Christ, and as a result, they lost some of their friendships. And what about me? Do I have some negative experiences to share? I have two I'll share with you, but I'll start by setting up the positive part first. Almost a year and a half ago, my wife and I moved to a new neighborhood. We felt called by God to move to this specific place. It's in Pasadena, California, but it's not the part that's famous for the little old lady or the Rose Parade or the Rose Bowl. Instead, it's an under-resourced neighborhood marked by overpopulation, racial tensions, gang influence, and broken families. However, we quickly began to see great signs of hope there. There are some great families, some great nonprofits and churches in the area. Folks love the neighborhood and are generally really loyal to one another. And people in our neighborhood really know how to have fun. And it was this combination of needs and assets that God used to draw us to the neighborhood. Slowly, over the course of a few months, He began teaching us how to join Him in what He was already doing in the neighborhood. After a little while, God orchestrated a missional community to form of people who also felt connected to this neighborhood. That's when we started going all in. We baked cookies and passed them out to our neighbors in an effort to get to know them. We took lots of walks so that we could have impromptu connections with our neighbors. And eventually, we started doing a monthly block party with our missional community and our neighbors. That's when we started finding out what our neighbors felt and thought. We listened and did so for months. Our neighbors consistently told us that the good news they needed was jobs, education, and opportunity. My wife and I began to feel more and more called by God to help in whatever ways that we could. In fact, we felt this call so strongly that I decided, after much prayer and guidance from friends and family, to pursue being an urban missionary so that I could devote more of my time to my neighbors and what God was up to in our neighborhood. The group that wanted to send me out as a missionary to our neighborhood is the Texas Baptist. But in order to be sent by them, I needed a Texas Baptist church to serve as my host church. And there was no other choice than the church I grew up in, Crestview Baptist Church in Midland, Texas. After a little coordination, a date was set for us to fly to Texas to be commissioned by my home church. We flew down several months ago now and had a great experience. Family and friends from all over came to support us. I was interviewed during all of the morning services and had a commissioning service in the evening. Everything went beyond my wildest dreams. My family and I felt so loved and so supported. And we felt sent. We flew back home and got back to our lives as normal and to my new assignment. That's when the negative experience I mentioned at the top of this podcast happened. An acquaintance sent me a really harsh message over the internet, completely out of the blue. I tried to respond kindly, and this person lashed back even more aggressively, even bringing my family into their invectives. They called my personal integrity, my calling, and my family into question. It was highly negative and very uncalled for. I looked for appropriate measures to protect myself and my family from this drama, but it still hit me really hard. Maybe it should not have. I mean, I've been doing ministry for almost 20 years. All kinds of crazy things are said and happen. And people who do ministry are often the subject of attacks. That part is pretty normal. But I'm a new dad. And when my family was brought into it, it struck a new chord within me. Long story short, this negative experience almost stole the excitement and passion from my commissioning. Almost. But in those moments of frustration and anger, God was good to me. He reminded me through my wife and some of my friends that His love for me and for all those who follow Him is strong enough to see me through any storm. I have nothing to fear when I fear God first. And so I'm simply moving forward. This negative experience turned into a positive one. I was reminded of God's goodness and faithfulness through it. But just a few days after this crazy ordeal normalized a bit, another negative experience happened. Here's a little backstory. The neighborhood we live in has quite a bit of gang activity. Overall, however, we feel very safe and secure and have enjoyed beginning to be friends with our neighbors, especially those who are gang affiliated. Not that long ago, a former member of the gang in our neighborhood was shot and killed in broad daylight on a major thoroughfare in Pasadena. The killer is still at large, and the police have no credible leads. The man who was killed had gotten his life straightened out, or so it had seemed, and was working a job to support his three children. He leaves behind a mother and some brothers as well as his kids and his family. Just after he was killed, his mother, brothers, friends, and family were hurting, and they were livid. They were angry about the late response by Pasadena first responders. They were angry about how their loved one had made good choices and this bad thing still happened to him. And there began to be rumblings on our block, the place where God has called us, that the gang the man who was killed used to belong to was going to retaliate. Over the next few days after those rumblings, everything was a bit anxious. We weren't all so anxious about our safety, but about the safety of our neighbors and the peace of our city. Now, we called on our friends and families to pray, and they stepped up. I put out a call, and we've been inundated with people telling us that they're praying for us, and it's been really helpful. Now, another interesting twist of this story is that the mother of the man who was killed told our local newspaper that she forgives the man who killed her son. That's remarkable to me. Hope springs eternal. Times like this remind me of one of my favorite lines from my favorite songwriter, John Foreman. He says, "The shadow proves the sunshine." So what do you think? Have you had similar experiences of trial, struggle, and temptation after a really cool experience with God? Let me know about it by visiting my website, clicking on the Facebook or Twitter icon, and sending me a comment. Thanks for exploring the topic of negative experiences that follow right after positive ones with me. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, then please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And also, check out my website, jmatthewbarnes.com. That's jaymatthewbarnes.com. And while you're there at my website, get a free 2-week devotional on 1 John that I've written called On Mission in 1 John. There should be a bar at the top of the screen where you can enter your email address so that you can be emailed a download link. Thanks so much for your time, grace, and peace.